There we go. I think we're up and running now. As I said, we're entitling this series, Mad. Am I Mad to Believe? And we're going to go through a lot of different things. Am I Mad to Believe? But the point of doing this is sort of two or threefold. One of the reasons is because we're going to be speaking from the Old Testament, because we want to introduce people to a little bit of the history of the Old Testament and the history of the nation of Israel and who these people were, the likes of Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and also to realize that nothing changes under the sun. They were human beings just like we are human beings, and they faced the same struggles of belief as we face. Struggling to believe. And so hopefully over the series, we're not only going to see we're going to start with the first 8 weeks, or for the 8 weeks that we're doing this series, we're going to just look at Abraham. And we might then decide to go on and look at a few others. But we want to see a bit of Abraham's humanity. And hopefully we will see a bit of his humanity, that he's not just some guy sitting up on a pedestal, a wee bit unreal. But we'll see the reality of his life. But we'll also see how relevant his life is to us. Because sometimes we think that these guys, you know, they lived so long ago, how is their life relevant? Well, Solomon said that nothing changes under the sun. And I know we've all got the internet and Wi-Fi, and we think, oh, well, things have changed. We've got all this new technology. But at the end of the day, we're just humans, like all these people were humans, and we face the same struggles as all these people face. So we'll hopefully bring a bit of relevance. And we'll also see, as we were singing at the start, that God doesn't change. God is as relevant to us as he was to Abraham. And our faith in him, we're hopefully going to see that it's a good thing. But we'll also realize that it's mad. From the outside, it looks mad. And I know there's a great push in Christianity to try to normalize Christianity, to make it seem a wee bit more believable, to try to get rid of some of the supernatural aspects of it. But that's pointless. God is a supernatural God. The faith that we need to believe is a ridiculous faith. The Bible tells us it's foolishness. It looks like foolishness. There's no doubt we believe that there was a bloke walking about 2,000 years ago who wasn't just a normal bloke. He was actually God. And that he died, and because he had lived a perfect life, he was raised again by God the Father, by the power of God the Spirit. And because of that, if we simply believe in him, when we die, we will live forever. And if you think about that is, looking at it from the outside, it is madness. And so we're trying to be honest about our faith and saying, yes, we know it looks ridiculous. We know it looks unbelievable. But at the same time, we experience that it's real. And we're going to the likes of Abraham, and this evening I'm just looking at Noah, and we're going to hopefully show that for these men, it was the all-important defining aspect of their life. And it is well worth our while learning the lessons from their lives and bringing it into our own life. So we are going to be speaking, and we're not reverting back to our half-hour sermons. We're we're going to try to keep our sermons short, down to 15 minutes or so. And tonight I'm going to have to try to keep it even shorter, because I've been waffling for so long. So to speak on Noah for 10 minutes, it will not do the story of Noah much good, but hopefully we'll learn a few lessons. I'm not going to read the story of Noah. It's found in Genesis chapter 6 through to Genesis chapter 9. You can read it all when you go home. Check whether what I told you about it was actual fact or not. I'm going to be reading one verse, or one wee short passage from 1 Peter chapter 3. But we're all reasonably familiar with the story of Noah, because it has been taught in Sunday schools. It's always been taught in Sunday school. Mr. Noah built an ark, if you remember that song. I was nearly going to launch into it, but I saved you just in time. Even kids' toys, even there's a kids' movie out about Noah and his ark. So we're all familiar with the rough idea of the story. especially from when we were children. The only problem is that now when you talk to adults about the story of Noah, it usually descends into an argument about facts. You know, people want to debate with you the facts about, you know, was the whole world flooded? You know, did really, what about the birds? What about the seabirds? Did they live? What about the fish? And they get, it's always descends into an argument about facts. And we want to sort of steer away from those sort of arguments, because we want to learn what the story is all about. Now, we here at Shiloh, most people here in Shiloh believe in a literal flood. But the point we want to make is, if you find the whole idea of a literal flood ridiculous, don't be put off from learning the real lesson from this story. And then maybe God will speak to you later in life about the flood and what happened. In saying that, there's many people here who would be quite happy to debate the facts about the flood as well. But what we want to do is to, in a very short time, get down to the spiritual lessons that we can learn. And tonight it's from the life of Moses, or from the life of Noah, because that is why it's recorded for us. It isn't recorded for us so that we can test each other as to whether we know the facts or not. It's recorded for us so that we learn the lesson of faith, and so that we learn the lesson of what God is like. The three things that it is really about: it's about faith, it's about judgment, and it's about salvation. And I'm going to quickly go through those three things. The first thing is, it's about judgment. It's about God saying judgment is coming. And the world had descended into a state of depravity. Everybody had turned away from godliness, and everyone was going about doing their own thing. In fact, so much so that God said that he regretted he had created mankind. But the thing is, God says the same thing today. Now, he doesn't say he's going to destroy the world with a flood, but he says judgment is coming. And in fact, he says judgment is coming to everybody. And you see, you might not see it. You might think life just goes on as normal. But that's the point. That's the point that Jesus made. When he mentioned Noah, he said the people then were just going about, they were eating, they were drinking, they were getting married, they were being given in marriage. Things were just going on. Life was just going on as usual. And so one of the things about Noah's faith is he was able to believe in God even though things didn't look as though they were going to change. He believed what God said. And that is the same for us today. We as Christians, we have chosen to believe that actually what God says, even though it doesn't look as though anything's going to change in this world, because everything's still just going on roughly the same. I know technology's changing and stuff, but we are still put in that position of having to believe that judgment is coming, even though maybe it doesn't look from the outside as if it is. But God says it's coming. Even though life is just going on as usual. So, the story of Noah is about the impending judgment that God is bringing to the world. The second thing I said it was about is salvation. And there's probably no clearer picture in the Bible of the necessity of salvation than the picture of Noah in his ark. It is so vivid, and if you put back on your 8-year-old child's view of the flood coming, and you picture the whole world being flooded, and you picture Noah on his boat and everyone else perishing. If nothing else, don't get distracted by the facts about it, but see the spiritual lesson. Salvation is necessary if you want to escape judgment. It's such a vivid picture, we can't miss it. And in fact, that's what I'm going to read about in 1 Peter chapter 3, because Peter sees this picture too, because he says, I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 3, And it's sort of breaking in the middle of a story, talking about Jesus. I'm going to break in halfway through verse 18. It says, he was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. This is talking about Jesus, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Ignore that bit. Who disobeyed long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. You see, it's a picture of salvation. And, well, what Peter's saying is it's a picture of baptism, because baptism is a picture of the death of Jesus. That's us getting lowered into the water in baptism. Tally was talking about it this morning. The burial, that's us in the water. And then the resurrection to new life. And that's speaking of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And so symbolically, when we become Christians, we choose to get baptized because it shows that we are dying to the old way of living to ourselves. And we're being raised again to live for Christ. And so when we look at the story of Noah, the first thing we should see is the picture of baptism, the picture of salvation, the picture that the only way to make it to the new life is to be saved from the judgment. Because if we don't get on the boat, we perish. If we're not on the boat, we perish. It's a simple, simple picture. So salvation is necessary. And the third point I want to say is about faith. You see, Noah, it says in the story that Noah was righteous. It says that he was blameless. It says various words like that. But we're not to imagine a picture of Noah being perfect before God, like Jesus was perfect. He wasn't. In fact, afterwards, not long after the ark, he gets out of the ark, he falls for temptation and gets drunk, and silly things happen. So he wasn't perfect. But he was made righteous by his faith, by simply believing what God said. He believed that judgment was coming. In fact, he believed that it was going to rain when it had never rained before. So much so that he listened to God and spent 100 years building the hugest boat that you could imagine building. Bonkers. Noah, there is no one in the Bible who must have looked as bonkers as Noah looked. And yet, as mad as he looked, there is no one in the Bible that represents perseverance in faith like the story of Noah. You know, we as Christians can be strong in our faith for a few weeks, and then we feel a wee dip, and oh, I'm not sure, I've got doubts about this. Picture Noah, day in, day out, laughed at, scoffed at, building a boat when there was seemed to be no reason in the world to build a boat. He looked mad. But to the degree he looked mad, he was exercising faith in God. And because he had faith in God, he was saved. Because salvation was necessary. You see, that is the, in a nutshell, the spiritual story, the spiritual lesson for us of Noah. Judgment is coming. Salvation is necessary. And salvation is through faith in what God says. What we're going to do that's going to be a bit different that we haven't done before. It used to be after we spoke from God's word, well then we'd stand and sing one song and the meeting would be over. And then when we were doing the Healing Power of Jesus series, what we did was we left the last bit of time completely open and we sat in silence. And God moved in different ways and people can testify as to how God moved. Well, we're not doing either of those. What we're going to do now as I finish is Steph I mean, it'll not always be Steph. Sometimes it'll be karaoke. Steph's going to get up and play some songs, not such lively songs, but more worshipful songs. And that is for two reasons. One is it's for us to contemplate a little of what has been spoken of. But it is also an opportunity for us if we want to receive prayer. And how it's going to work tonight, and this may change, we may think that, oh well, that didn't work just so well, we'll do it slightly differently. How it's going to work tonight is we're all going to stand and we're going to sing. Now, if you would like to receive prayer, and when I say receive prayer, it can be for anything. It can be for healing. It can be thinking back to the weeks that have preceded and how you received prayer for a certain sickness and you would like to receive prayer for it again. That's a perfect thing. It might be something to do with the message. You might be thinking, I don't have the faith of Noah. And you're not alone. You know, there's a guy in the Bible, he said, Lord, I have faith, but help my unbelief. And you may want prayer for that. You may want prayer for something completely different. What we ask you to do tonight is to sit down and just stick your hand up. And for the Christians here, to keep an eye, keep the corner of your eye open for somebody to pray for. Because if you do see someone sitting down, putting their hand up, please go and pray for them. If not, I'll sort of negotiate a couple of people who can go and pray for you. And similarly, so Seth's going to play a few songs. We're going to stand and sing. If you want prayer, sit down, put your hand up. If you just want to sit down, don't put your hand up. If you want to just rest. And then I will close with a word of prayer. And if you want prayer after that, do come and see people. I know I've said a lot tonight. It's just to try to change the whole format and get in the swing of it. It won't be like this every week. So, Steph, over to you.